Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 552. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me. But I don't know for how long, because this is the kind of day. It's 72 degrees in Las Vegas with a blue sky. I mean, this seems like the type of day you just don't work on. You know what I mean? Yep. You just go out there, enjoy the weather. My favorite month of the year, April and October, and this October is closing strong. It's gorgeous out there.
Yeah, well, you know, some of us already got some steps in today. I could be ready for some other steps. That's why I do not look very showered right now.
Stepping on over to the bar. Is that what we're talking about?
Oh, okay. Well, I don't need to shower then. Fuck them. No, but it was, yeah, this weather is perfect. In fact, like, by the time I got out this morning, it's still, like, nice little brisk air. So I put the long sleeve shirt on. I still got the shorts on, but, you know, get the little steps in. Oh, it's so
it's my favorite time. I'm telling you, if you're thinking about coming to Las Vegas and you can plan it, it's not around an event. It's not around, you know, yeah. I got to go see this concert, this sporting event. Pick April or October. You'll get the best weather. But this week particularly has been gorgeous, man. So
it's nice.
I'm looking to enjoy it a little bit. But there's a lot going on. I mean, we got to talk some UFC 321, of course. But first of all, I will throw out a busy time in CFFC. A lot going on with CFFC.
Yes,
always
yes.
Going to keep you up to date there. A change of main event at CFFC 148. I guess I can say it's public information now, but Darian Abbey was under a temporary suspension with Nevada State Athletic Commission. He's actually got a hearing scheduled next week. And it does look like, from what's been posted, they won't actually address the whole issue. It'll be one of those ones where they just say, hey, we'd like to extend it to another meeting when we'll actually address it. So we had him scheduled to fight Anthony Garcia in November, and unfortunately due to that, had to withdraw from it. So instead, Larry Gonzalez steps in. This is actually interesting, though. I was talking to Larry Gonzalez yesterday. Larry Gonzalez was actually offered the opportunity to fight on Dana White's Contender Series against Anthony Garcia, and he turned it down. He was like, hadn't really been training, and I didn't want to jump on Dana White's Contender Series. Like, I wasn't quite ready yet.
Yeah.
And so he turned it down. Now he gets the opportunity to run it back anyway for the CFFC title. So, anyway, got that going on. So that's a little change for CFFC 148. Of course, that's November 7th in Philadelphia. And then, of course, hopefully everybody saw today, we announced CFFC 149, which is loaded December 20th in Atlantic City.
Four title fights,
man. And maybe even another one coming.
Are you just trying to meet obligations, or you guys just wanted to go big?
We just wanted to go big. We wanted to load up the card. And it was, you know, some of it, there was, I guess, I don't want to say meet obligations, maybe meet personal promises to people, you know, because
so maybe not legal obligations, but you want to stay good on your word.
Exactly. Where it's that like, hey, you know, we'd, you know, especially when you talk about like Chris Brown and Gurum Gokashvili, like that had been rescheduled. And so it's like.
Say that three times.
I know, right? That would have been rescheduled. You know, Bilal Hassan had kind of been out and assumed
is he somebody?
Everything.
Bilal Hassan, right. Is he a name?
Can't believe the guy is still on our roster. So hopefully he'll get one more win. Ryan Kafaro always wanted to fight New Jersey. So it was just kind of one of those things where it was like a congruence of events coming together. We're like, let's just load it up.
Yeah,
but it's going to be cool. Ross wanted a big CFFC fan experience out there as well. So, like, Aljamain Sterling's going to be there. We got kind of elevated little area that's inside the arena. Aljamain's going to be there, like, handing out samples of his Funk Harbor and having cocktails with people.
Nothing like earlier in the week or something.
Yeah, just fight night will be on there as opposed to part. So that was the whole idea is, like, you come in and there'll be these other activities going on. Like, some of our sponsors, like RK Chevrolet, is going to be giving out a big Chevrolet Silverado. So you can take part in all this, but it's still inside the arena because that arena is huge.
Yeah.
And don't even have to like leave out into the front or anything. Because there was some talk about maybe we put it in like the entryway. There's an atrium. You got to come out there one day. Maybe this will be one we could sneak you out there or something. Come see it. But there's a little atrium, and we're like, well, but we'd rather be in there so you don't even have to leave. So like you can take part in all this and not even, not have to turn your attention away from the fight. So,
yeah, which is cool because sometimes people just want to get up and move around for a little bit. You know, it's nice that you're giving them, you know, sort of things that they can kind of like.
Yep.
Let's get up and go get a beer, but also, you know, go check something out.
That's it. So anyway, it's going to be huge. So if you can get your tickets December 20th, come on out there, CFFC 149. So we've got that coming up, CFFC 148, CFFC 149. So there's been a lot going on the past week with that. We will have CFFC BJJ to wrap up the year as well. So all that stuff going on, even though we're having some off weeks, we're still always staying busy.
Staying busy.
Now, there's some breaking news that I did want to talk about, but before we get to the breaking news.
I have not looked on the Twitter today. I have not looked on the
X. I know you've been busy. I know you've been busy. So some of it will actually be, I think I'll catch you by surprise because I saw some of it right on the way over here. But I did want to give a shout out. Me and you did get to hang out a little bit last week. Since the last time we got together, we got to go see Fight Circus over at over at the Palms at that Chaos nightclub inside. Yep. I have been a Fight Circus fan from like the very beginning of the concept, man. Where I was just like, dude, you guys have something here. Like, this is crazy. It's insane, but it's fun. And we actually got to go over there and watch it. Our guys Ben the Bane Davis and Oscar Willis were calling the action. Of course, then Oscar jumped in the main event as well. And boy,
still no clue who won that match. I don't think I was really paying attention. By that time, I was like, I think I was paying attention to the whiskey and the
whiskey
sights
was flowing. The dancers that they had in there
everywhere, and it was they were worth looking at.
they brought in some talent. They brought in some talent. Yeah. But I just want to say it was a good time, man. It was
it was fun.
The nightclub is called Chaos, and there's no better name for that than. By the way, it was the first time I'd been in there. Chaos has a weird history. Like, it was the Palms opened it up, spent a lot of money building it. Yeah. And I can't remember what happened.
It's a nice venue on the inside.
Really nice.
It's nice.
It was only
open. It's
been
updated, but it's nice. Like, it's a nice space.
Honestly, there's not I can't imagine a better space for that show, especially, man. Just like all the LED lighting and the audience being right on top of it.
Yeah, it's like sensory overload almost when they had all the lights and everything going on. And especially when the Fight Circus was doing its thing. You had dancers, even in between. So you had dancers dancing, lights are fucking swaying all about. They had DJs playing. Like, it was really, really cool. But you felt like it was in a nightclub environment. Yep. But it was pretty impressive.
Fun. I had a good time. So I want to give a shout out to them. I know that they've got goals on hopefully, having more shows out here in Las Vegas. And that was kind of a dry run / proof of concept or whatever. But it seemed like everybody was pretty happy.
$15 drinks was a bit steep.
But that's cheaper Vegas now. And that's cheaper. Palms is cheaper than going on the strip proper, right? Because that's slightly just off strip.
Because you want to drink when you're watching this. You definitely want to drink for the environment. Because you have to kind of, like, it's like anything. When you go watch theater or when you go watch, just professional wrestling, you kind of want to get into the mood. You have to, like, let your eyes and your mind just sort of, like, set back, have fun, stop taking everything so, realistic, and just enjoy the moment. And certainly some adult beverages help. So the staff that was working was great, but it was like, kept having to go in your wallet, and you're like, and then they do the Vegas thing where it's like, okay, say your drink's $20 or $15, and you give them a 20. They don't give you 5 singles. They give you a 5 back.
So it's either or 5.
They want you to tip five, and they did that like all night long. I didn't see one single. They didn't break anything down. I was like
psychology 101 right here.
I was like, you're either giving me zero or you give me five. Yeah. So I was just like, okay, I guess we all have to try to be ballers because if I'm buying one drink, regardless. Like, you go to a bar, it's $1. It's a guarantee. That's just the thing. And even that, some people are like, oh, well, I don't tip every drink. I'm like, bro, give $1 or whatever. But if you're making it to where it's like, hey, you're going to be 5, because then they'll probably give you the side eye. When you're like, oh, hey, can you break that 5? And they give you the side eye. I didn't do it because I wanted to seem like a baller that night, so I just gave them the 5.
Well, but let's be honest. You were balling that night.
Yeah, felt all right. Was that the night I blacked out? Or was that another night?
That was I didn't want to say that. I was just saying that you had done well.
You had done well. We played some Keno the other day, the day before that.
It's oversharing, bro. I wasn't going to, like, blackout.
Sometimes it happens.
Selective sleeping.
If you remember parts of it, are you really fully blacked out?
That's just the brain conserving energy and just shutting down, being like, listen, bro, we don't need to remember none of this because we got other things going on.
That's it. Yeah. But no, it was, So, yeah, I felt fine, like, doing it. But still, when you go out, that's the difference, and that's why some people say, well, if you're not ready for that, don't go to a Vegas resort. Don't go to whatever.
That's true.
And, like, I totally get that.
That's true.
But, yeah, so I felt like that's the only thing about, I would love to go see it again, but that's kind of the expectation is that, you either pregame or you're going to be paying the price when you get there.
I was going to say, so the way I approached it was I left the house a little early. Stop by a little Circle K on the way, grabbed a couple of tall boys, and I sat in the parking lot. I had my iPad in my car, and I watched the main event and co-main event of UFC Vancouver.
Yeah.
Down in a little tall boys in the parking lot of the Palms, and then had a look, like, finished up the USC, had a little buzz on, and walked my way on in to fight Circus. So and ended up calling a couple matches before you were there. That was crazy. They were like, "Can you jump?" By the way, trying to match the energy of what was going on there, Ben the Bane Davis and Oscar Willis.
Impossible.
I felt tremendously out of place in
impossible.
In that situation.
Those guys. Well, I guarantee both of them been drinking since whatever before. Yes. Certainly Oscar. Yes. But yeah, no, they have incredible energy level. In fact, when Bane did his little bit, I don't want to ruin it in case people did, but he pretty much introduced himself going in to get into the action, and he did a really, really good job. But yeah, his energy was incredible. But yeah,
I told him afterwards, I was like, you were born to call this.
Yeah.
Like, this is for you. This is what you're supposed to do.
100%. But yeah, it had a great crowd. I mean, like, I know the parking lot that I parked on the, I guess it'd be the east side parking garage on the small end of the Palms, and it was literally, I found one of the last two spots. And the
Palms. You were smart. I parked on the west side and had to walk all the way through the property.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, like, it was pretty busy out there. I mean, like, I'm glad the Palms sort of has had, like, a, you know, back to life. I mean, they spent some money to redo it and make it really, really nice on the inside, so I'm glad that. You know, because there's been times we went back there and it was not a lot of people, and people are always
had some ups and downs,
Vegas
right? When it opened,
dead.
It
Vegas
was the
is
spot.
Dead. I mean, like, people are spending less when they come, and it's more expensive. But yeah, the Palms looked nice. It was a fun night.
It was a good time. It was good. All right, listen. So we'll get to the breaking news here. First things first. So there's one very specific MMA that I'm 100% certain you didn't see, but look, maybe we'll just start with the general sportsman. Did you see this gambling scandal in the NBA where they're like making arrests and Man, that's I don't know. It caught my attention because obviously it reminded me of, you know, the James Crowe scandal and all that, and the FBI was involved. But this time, you know, they were making arrests and wild. And I guess it's a different government or whatever in charge. But I mean, they're just coming out and saying, the mob's involved, and you know,
I mean, well, at this point, you know, you talk about administration stuff. I mean, there's a lot of smoke and mirrors and stuff happening right now. We're getting the whole East Wing was just demolished, but now you want to raid and you want to start doing stuff that's been going on for years and years, you know. So I take it as, you know, it's not like they just decided to put their fist down on, you know, crime that's been happening.
I think there may be a little.
I think there's a little like, look at our FBI, look what we're doing, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, oh, by the way, don't ask questions about this atrocity that's happening at the White House right now and all this other shit. So, but yeah, I mean, but regardless, being said, if you're breaking the law and you're doing some shady shit, you deserve to get it, whatever. But the timing is a little bit suspect.
It definitely was interesting. But it just caught my eye simply because, you know, obviously we kind of never really had, like, full resolution with the whole, is the FBI still involved? What's going on with it? I mean, MMA's.
Why is that?
MMA's peanuts.
I mean, I suppose we could ask Dana about the UFC about that and say, hey, if the FBI is going after that, did they ever give you a resolution about the whole James Krause thing?
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
I did not even think about
that. It's
worth
asking.
Wow.
You know, especially if he's the one that's out there like saying like, oh, you know, if you're doing stuff like that, you're going to go to federal prison. But hey, have we ever heard the resolution about what happened with some of your fighters?
It's interesting.
You know?
It's interesting. Well, and even in the situation, so what
that's
I heard.
That's for real journalists. I'm a video producer. that's for the journalist reporters.
It is interesting. You start putting that. It'll be interesting to see who does follow up on that story because it definitely jumped out at me. And the thing I had heard at the time with the James Krause situation was, again, that, and it was mentioned here as well, is that really, the issue wasn't necessarily, like, the FBI doesn't really care too much about the sports betting inside information, which is illegal. I've said this before. Yeah. I didn't know that was a thing until that situation. But it's money laundering. It's tax evasion. It's all those things. You know, follow the money,
I mean, they,
right?
They book it all together. I mean, like, even though one thing is inside information, who's to say that it isn't something else?
Right.
They just throw these big terms out there. I mean, and maybe if this is one case or whatever, they think it's tied with the mob. Who doesn't? Maybe James Krause is actually a mob boss. How about that? Where is he at right now? Is he hanging out with Hoffa? I haven't heard anything about him. But no, I mean, who knows? But no, it's funny. Until you said Krause, I was like, holy crap, you're right. I haven't thought anything about that thing.
It just went away.
Brushed it under the thing.
I mean, there was some like Nevada State stuff that was done and some commission things that were done, but never really got full resolution. And I kind of always thought it would be much ado about nothing because it just seemed like such small peanuts compared
to... Well, it's like in like a personal thing. Like, it'd be easy for the UFC to say that's that's with the lawyers and Krause and those people. It has nothing to do with us, even though it was based around your sport and it's involving athletes that were on your roster. You know, like, it kind of is, you know. So
I did find it interesting.
You know.
You know what? It's funny.
It makes saying, you wonder, is the FBI going to reach out to Dana and start talking about the stuff that's happened rampantly in the UFC?
Can we just let this go away? We don't really need
cash.
To see this.
Cash. How about I slip you some cash and you make this go away? Isn't that his name? Cash Patel?
Cash Patel. Yeah, he's a Vegas guy. He hangs out right here in Vegas.
Oh God, for sure. That he's like, oh, don't worry, don't you worry, D-Dub. Good. Can you take me?
Wild speculation here. These points
can
of
you take
opinion
me gambling?
Do not represent the position of the podcast as a whole or any of our. This is cold coffee specifically.
No, this is joke satire, right? Isn't that how we do it? It's all a joke. It's all a joke.
I will definitely be interested to see
how this
thing plays
out. It's not like I did an
AI
thing and, you know, created a jet flying over my populace, dropping poop on them, you know? Like, it's all jokes. It's all jokes. At this point, the bar has been so low, everything can be claimed to just be a fucking joke, right? You know? It's ridiculous.
I'll be honest. I thought the whole White House thing, and we won't go too far into this, but the being destroyed or being remodeled, but tearing it. I thought that was illegal and impossible.
There are people saying that there should have been clearances to do stuff. There's like
my wife was like, "You see this?" I'm like, "That can't be real." Oh no, it's real.
Well, and he even said, I mean, granted, not that he ever goes back on his word. Said like, "Oh, we're not gonna change the structure. We're just gonna do a little bit of whatever." Then that changed, and then now it's like gone.
It's
you know,
crazy,
it's.
Man.
It's ridiculous. And they raised the cost up. Now it's going to be like $300 million or something like that.
That's
like,
crazy.
Man, Cutter's paying some real good money, I imagine, for all this stuff. It ain't come from Russia. Russia's mad right now. But, yeah.
Well,
it's,
we got
it's
you on one today.
Well, you know, you start talking about some rampant BS shit when it's going on. Like, it's pretty crazy, dude.
Oh,
the timing's
man.
Whatever. But, I mean, that being said, going back to the real thing, if there are shenanigans happening in the game and sports are being affected and people's livelihoods are being affected, you should get caught. You should get punished.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, let's keep it legit all the way across. When we're seeing certain things happen, there's a lot of, you know, suspect timing, but also the targets are very particular as opposed to across the board type stuff. So, but that being said, you know, if the NBA and the NFL have issues, you know, if anything else, you know, like, let's check all the sports.
I'm interested to see. You know? I'm interested to see how this thing plays out, man. The fact that actual arrests were made.
Yeah, they said a lot, right?
Yeah,
didn't
I
they
think
say
they said
30?
Like 30 arrests, but
bro,
the first two were like.
That's crazy.
That's pretty wild, man.
That's crazy.
Wild. So, I don't know. Perked my interest a little bit because, again, it was actual steps being taken forward and kind of made me think about the whole UFC situation. All right, now here's the one that I know there's no way you saw because I literally saw it while I was driving over here because I was sitting at a red light and I was just scrolling Twitter while I was sitting at a red light.
You're not supposed to say that you're scrolling on your phone.
I was parked. I was at
a
red
light.
At a red light. Does that count? My wife gets mad at me. I'm like, I'm at a red light. She's like, it doesn't matter.
No,
like,
if a cop pulled up and saw you like touching your phone, you could still, you're still messing with your phone.
My wife's always right. I hate that shit. I'm like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm just at a red light. But check this out. Tapology.
Okay.
Tweets. Out of the blue. We received notice this week of a failed drug test for athlete Patchy Mix related to his May 2024 Bellator fight against Magomed Magomedov in Paris. Mix originally won the fight via split decision. It continues on in subsequent tweets. The FMMAF, a federation that has legal authority over MMA fights in France, has communicated that due to the failed test, Mix's win is being overturned from a win to a loss. This is not the first reverse to a loss we have received from the FMMAF, but it is the most prominent. Tapology does not, and they messed up here. I think it just says Tapology is not overturning, but I think it should say believe or something. Anyway, Tapology does not overturning wins to losses in such circumstances. The approach we are accustomed to in MMA is for wins to be overturned in no contest. Tapology is an independent entity managing a database of combat sports information for the benefit of utility and our users. We aim to provide our users with the most useful and detailed information possible. So anyway, bottom line is the French Mixed Martial Arts Federation, due to this failed test, is saying that it is a loss. Tapology is going to list it as, as saying it's overturned to a loss, but they're not taking the loss away from them.
Yeah. I see a little wording off to the side. It says original results remains or whatever.
But anyway, caught my attention, number one, because, A, that fight was, I mean, a good year and a half ago at this point, which is a little while that it took this long to get done. The other thing is I hate kind of, and I imagine this will develop kind of as we're sitting here recording, because I'm telling you this was literally as I was driving over here. It doesn't say anything about what he failed a test for. I mean, if we're talking about failed a test for marijuana or something, like, who cares? You know what I mean? And, like, why? I mean, you can debate whether the whole overturning merit, et cetera, but, like, who cares? But if it was a performance-enhancing substance and there's not, I don't know, any resolution or defense, and then when you talk about kind of what Patchy has done in the UFC and everybody's wondering, like, what happened, and, you know, again, I don't want to talk rampant speculation here again, but it's like, whoa, this could be really, really big. Or again, like, if they say, well, it was for weed, you just go, well, what the hell, you know what I mean? That's no big deal, you know what I mean? So I don't know, it caught my attention, and man, I like Patchy so much, and I felt bad for him in his UFC journey, and this just is
almost a year to the day from his release.
So
wowzers. I mean, I certainly don't think, he had been tested, I'm sure, plenty of times before that. So I wouldn't think that he wasn't a great fighter, and I wouldn't attribute his fighting to performance-enhancing drugs. I don't think he's the type. I mean, I think it's just it's more of a matter of the opponents that you ran into. People have been saying that about a Bellator a lot of times, you know, that some of these guys, would they do as well if they went over to the UFC? Now, that doesn't mean that he was fighting soup cans the whole time or whatever, but still, I would lean more on that he's just had bad performances and maybe rising to the occasion in the UFC as opposed to something he was taking. But, I mean, the timing, it's unfortunate the timing of, you know, when this is happening is near the end when he was asking for, you know, release and all this other stuff to kind of get out afterwards when he wasn't getting fights. So, I don't know. Crazy, but, yeah, overturned to a loss is bonkers.
Well, that's silly. And I'll be honest with you, even let's take it out of Patchy Mix. Let's take it to anybody. Let's say it is the strongest steroid ever known to man.
Yeah.
I still think you turn it over to a no contest, right? You don't turn it over to a loss.
I mean, I don't know how long the MMAF, which is just a ridiculous name. I thought you were clowning at first and first when you were saying MMAF.
No.
I mean, granted, it's not like they've been I don't know how long they've even been in existence to where, you know, this stuff is starting to work out. I mean, because I imagine they didn't exist for long before they finally got legalized over there.
Well, I would imagine, it was so founded in 2005 is what the initial search is. I was going to say, I imagine it was established, because if you think about it, remember, were you in Stockholm when the International Mixed Martial Arts Federation was founded? Were you over there?
I don't know.
Anyway, the IMMAF that oversees the amateurs, the Amateur World Championships, a lot of these, I mean, that was the legal process for getting things legalized in a lot of places. Like, you have to form a national foundation. But as far as, I mean, MMA at a professional level hasn't been legal in France that long. So the organization may have been around for a long time.
That's what doesn't
make
any
sense. But not to the point
sense.
Of regulating, professional mixed martial arts to this point. So, I think it's only been legal in France since like 2020.
I'm trying to look it up. Yeah, I mean, like,
so it's only been legal for like the past 5 years.
So you're saying this
and
thing
the first couple years,
for 15 years?
And the first couple years there was COVID, so they didn't do any events.
And so you're trying to say this organization has been around for 15 years before it started, and this is the kind of stuff you're going to do? Like, were they just – did they meet in somebody's basement and say, like, hey, guys, we're this, you know?
Yeah,
like,
basically.
Especially if the other one was doing the actual work, for the amateurs.
That's how it starts out, right? It's like a really small organization of just, like, you have to have paperwork. To be honest with you, when the whole International Mixed Martial Arts
Federation
founded –
Because this is not the same people that were doing the amateurs, right?
No. Just the IMMAF was the governing body kind of overseeing everything. And then you had, like, these kind of member entities that would register under – it's the whole, like – the global way of doing of getting official recognition of a sport. You have to have a national agency. You have to have, you know, it's like FIFA or whatever else. There has to be a governing body, and then the national. It's
crazy.
It's bureaucracy and bullshit.
Which that's what definitely feels like.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's just ridiculous. I mean, like,
anyway, I thought that was wild. I'm sure the story will come out. I mean, it's definitely worth following. Like I said, I hope it's. I mean. You know, since he's come over to the UFC, he's been tested to the UFC standard. So
That's what I mean. It could be a fluke. It could be whatever. I mean, does he have any legal to go back and ask for a retest of the samples? I mean, the fact that it's taken so long, you know, you wonder what sort of recourse he has to combat this sort of thing, if there is anything at all, or it's just a matter of, well, sorry, we've done this. You know, we find this. You know, like, why are we just hearing about it now? I mean, it's not like, you know, tests and things can happen and reporting organizations wait 18 months or, you know, 14 months to say anything. Who would do such a thing?
We may have heard of it before.
Who would do such a thing?
It is crazy. I felt bad. I like Patchy a lot. And again, you know, for years, you know, you would just hear training partners and coaches just loud, you know, Patchy for just how damn good he was and is. And obviously his USC career hasn't gone the way expected. And now you add this on top of it. I don't know, man. I want to find out the best of it and find out that there was some, you know, nonsense along the way. But
that's the thing. I mean, like, it could be some ridiculous supplement that's not even whatever, but they're just whatever. Until they come out with, like, the receipts of what's going on, it's unfortunate that it do whatever. But I'm glad that Tapology is trying to keep the overall thing and keep it to some sort of level. Because, yeah, I mean, like, you could just have this organization just have a chip on their shoulder and wants to say something for some reason. Because, yeah, I mean, this is crazy. I mean, like, if this is precedent, I don't know enough of this thing. Maybe we go back and look and see if they've done this to multiple people in the past. But if it hasn't happened, then I think there's something
else. They said they've had a couple. And by the way, the crew over at Tapology, they take this shit very seriously.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But they say that this FMMAF has changed things.
Has requested this before. So I wish, and I'm sure it was discussed and considered.
Time to go back to Freedom Fries. But
America. But I wish Tapology, and I'm sure it was a conscious decision to not list the substance. Maybe they feel like they're not a news reporting agency
I get it that they don't have to, but somebody should.
Somebody should.
Somebody should have it.
I wish they would have to, but I'm sure
the FMMAF should be a press release for them that says whatever. I mean, like, if you're going to go to Tapology and say change, where's the press release that makes it a public thing that you're asking this organization? If you're doing it behind closed doors, that's shenanigans. That just seems really, really shady. And maybe there is. I mean, granted, you just sprung it on me, so maybe there is a press release. There should be. You shouldn't just go to a website that runs a database and say, oh, by the way, we've done this without having the receipts of what's going on. The NSAC wouldn't do that. I mean, like, everything's public knowledge. There's public records of it. And I imagine France would hold them to the same standard. But again, you know, I don't know much about this organization. I didn't even know they existed until right now. So I don't know what sort of, like, real due diligence they do and what they do, or if it's just guys just making rash decisions and just saying, this is our ruling. Deal with it, you know.
We'll find out. I'm sure the details will be unfolding soon. All right, UFC is over in Abu Dhabi for UFC 321. I got a message today from Jose Youngs that cracked me up. So
I know.
We may have spent an inordinate amount of time in a particular bar in Abu Dhabi because there was, you know, obviously during COVID when it was Fight Island, was going over there. And I think if I remember right, we did like a 5 week, there was like a 2 week stretch, a 5 week stretch, and a 3 week stretch, or 3-5-2 or something. I can't remember the exact order, but I think we ended up doing like 10 weeks, right? And during those 10 weeks of Fight Island COVID times, we were all kind of quarantined to this one hotel. Now, it kind of started to get a little bit more laxed as it went on, but it was the hotel we were staying in, and there was a bar at the first floor called Stills. And if you go back and listen to some of the old MMA Roadshow episodes during that time, you will hear some very inebriated nights from Stills because there was little else to do in there except to go there. And they used to have all-you-can-drink special during soccer games. And I would go in there and maybe overstep my bounds a little bit and just how much I was imbibing at that time. And I remember at one point I asked for a triple, and they were like, we don't do triples. And I was like, I'll take three singles poured into one glass, please. And they were just like, you're a jackass. But I was going out of my mind. It was COVID times.
Why couldn't you just take the three glasses?
I was going, I don't, I,
you're like, ah.
Yeah, So anyway, I was dealing with some things at that time. Okay, I was dealing with some things,
some demons.
That COVID times and being over there for as much as we were. It did some things to me mentally. It did some things to me mentally. But Jose Youngs actually texted me a photo of the bar today. And we had this one little area we would always go to. We started calling it the office because it was one that had like it was like four. They had good internet there. It had a table that was big enough to have four like laptops out, so you could have your drink and your laptop. And there was power, and you know obviously you need power as well, right?
Power.
Like most of us, you know, you use your computer so much, the batteries start to wear down and all that. So
we
had this one place we called the office. So he was like. He's like, he took a picture of it. I was like, oh, my God, you're back. He's like, bro. He's like, yeah. He's like, I even got the table, too. He's like, I'm back in the office. He was like, oh. I was like, oh, that's awesome. Like,
have
a good time.
The placard on the wall, Mr. Morgan.
I will read directly to you. He said, the waitress literally said, welcome back. She said, and I was like, that's amazing. Like, I can't believe, because that's been, you know, 5 years.
Yeah.
She said that the minute that they sat down at that usual table, she's like, I knew exactly who you guys were.
And that's funny.
So, yeah, hilarious, man. So, anyway, I just had to give
a shout out. I imagine, too, they pulled out laptops. They probably had gear with them, and she's like, and the UFC's here. It's those guys.
The PTSD all came flashing back, man. We had some times. So, I want to give a shout out to Jose Young. I thought that was absolutely hilarious.
That's
the way
funny.
She's like, oh, yeah. I remember you guys.
Welcome back.
He and I were laughing, too, because he was over there for every stretch of Fight Island as well, man. We spent a lot of time over there. Not going to be there this time, but that works out just perfect. Even though, as I said, whenever the event's going on, I'm like, damn, I wish I was there. But then when it's over and I don't have 24 hours to get home, I'll feel pretty happy about it. But UFC 321, boy, in Vegas, you can't beat this. 7 a.m. prelims, 11 a.m. on the pay-per-view start time. I'm looking forward to it because I love that early morning fights. Tom Aspinall versus Ciryl Gane in the main event. Man, I mean, listen, exciting, number one, just that there's a heavyweight title fight, right? This division, and I know that John Jones is a big part of that, and I am a John Jones fan and a believer that he is the GOAT, but I know that he has played very much into why this division has been on hold, amongst some other things. That have played out over the years. It is sad how kind of stagnant the heavyweight division has been. But now we get a big fight, Tom Aspinall versus Ciryl Gane. And I don't think it takes a genius to break this thing down, right? I mean, I think everybody pretty much has the same thoughts, which is Tom Aspinall could absolutely come in here and smoke Ciryl Gane as he smoked everybody. And that's possible because, when I look at Tom Aspinall, like, I really do believe Tom Aspinall has everything that it takes to reign over this division for a long time. You know, we saw the Daniel Cormier audio come out where he was saying the same thing, that, man, this could set up for you to reign for a long time. I believe that. But I will say, man, and again, it's only question marks of things we haven't seen, right? You know, like, Ciryl Gane, when Ciryl fought John Jones, I remember the whole time I was like, guys, this isn't even a fight. Like, John Jones is going to wax him. And then on fight night, I started thinking, like, I don't know. Like, Ciryl is a huge guy, and Ciryl does have athleticism, and Ciryl does hit hard. Tom has been out for over a year.
Yep.
Tom doesn't fight out of the first round very often. If this thing goes two rounds, three rounds, at least Ciryl Gane knows what it's like to go that long. So I think on the one hand, you could look at this and just be like, oh, man, why are we even doing this fight? I saw Ciryl Gane get waxed by John Jones.
Yep.
Tom Aspinall is the man, so this is a stupid fight, and I'm not even interested. But I got to be interested. I got to be honest. Like, I am interested in this fight because I heavyweight MMA, anything can happen. And while I do believe Tom Aspinall is that damn good, man, anything can happen in a heavyweight fight. And
that's
if
it.
Ciryl gets this thing a little bit long, you know, questions.
Yeah, and I mean, if Tom can take a punch, but I mean, like you said, he's been out for a while. If he thinks that his chin is untouchable and wants to test that, maybe that's not the best idea. But I mean, when you looked at both of them when they had the face-off, both of them are just giant dudes.
Giant.
Tom is he looked like he had gained size since the last time I saw him.
Yep.
But Ciryl from everybody said that he is in incredible shape. The only fear I'm worried about on his side is everybody saying like he'd been away from his family for a long time, training, doing all this other stuff, that hopefully he's peaking and not overextended, working on so much to get in this fitness that everybody's – he always had a great physique, but now people are really saying like he looks in phenomenal shape. hopefully hasn't like overtrained himself, and you know that he's gonna be doing the right things, because you could train your ass off and then you could have John Jones go in there and finish the fight and you never even get a chance to get it started. I think he'll hopefully learn something from that, but also Aspinall's not going to go in there with the same sort of game plan and try to just, you know, put him against the cage and just weigh on him and be heavy. He wants to knock him out. So right. I think we're going to get much more of a striking fight in this one. But Tom's got great hands, man. I think he's just – I also believe that with the team and his mindset, he didn't take things easy this time away. I think he's been preparing, hoping to get a fight, staying as ready as you can while you've been, you know, waiting for the division to sort of figure itself out.
Yep.
But man, yeah, I mean, at this point, though, seeing what Tom has done, I haven't seen anything from Cyril's side to say, okay, well, I'm not going to lean with the champ. Like, you got to lean with the champ. Absolutely. I've seen nothing, you know, outside of the physique and everybody saying that Cyril's really been focused. Like, that's great. Everybody that gets an opportunity that they've been dying to get is going to train their butt off. But that happened before with the Jones fight.
Yep.
You know, like, what's different? Nothing, you know? So, I think I want it to be a fun fight. You know, I certainly don't want it. I mean, as cool as it would be to see another quick end to the fight, I would like to see Tom pushed in a little bit.
I would too.
You know, I would like to see Cyril get to show his work.
I would too.
You know, and what he's been doing. Like, that was the biggest letdown with the Jones fight, was that you're just like, oh my God, you know he trained his ass off for it, but he never got a chance to show anything. So I would like to see a fight. In fact, I hope the strawweight title fight going into that is a fantastic fight. I want there to be two title fights that everybody's just been like, wow. I mean, we'll look at this card. The card is a good card.
Yep.
But I want both those title fights to be spectacular. I want the Verna fight to be incredible, and then I want it to go into a heavyweight fight where we actually see some heavyweights throwing down.
I do too. Because to me, because I think, you know, like, if you're in a picks pool or whatever, if you're, you know, if you pick Tom Aspinall, no brainer. Yep. If you're laying money out there, unless you're just wealthy with money to spare that you don't really care what you lose, you put your money on Tom Aspinall, but the odds aren't that good. You're not going to make much money. Like, I wouldn't put any money on Cyril Gane. But just the fight fan in me, I want to see Tom test it a little bit. I want to see, you know what I mean? I mean, don't get
me
wrong.
That'll show whether he's going to really have this reign like DC and other are going to say.
Now,
like,
look, if Tom goes and smashes him, that's cool too, because then you're just like, wow, did it again. Yep. Oh, my God. So it's not like I'd be like disappointed or frustrated. You'd just be like, wow. But as a fan, I'm with you. I kind of want to. I want to see it. I want to see it play out a little bit.
I want to see. I mean, there's a thing when, I mean, and these, they're such physical specimens for heavyweights that for a lot of years, it was just big bodies, big giant bodies throwing big haymakers, and then you'd hope for the best.
Right.
You know, and one of them's going to sleep. Now, the level of MMA and the physicality of these heavyweights, it's so impressive what they're able to do and how quickly they're able to move. And like, so seeing these two guys, like, I want to see everything. I don't know. The days of just wanting a bar slobber knocker where you just got the guys go out there and who's the toughest guy is going to stand in the middle. We're just going to sling. Like, you want to see some high level MMA, especially when it's topping the card. You want everything to build up and then just have this incredible just fireworks show. When it doesn't happen, there's a quick finish. Sometimes, as long as it's a really quick finish, you're like, all right, that's cool. I got I still get enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But when you see those ones where you see high-level stuff that when you can go to somebody and say, did you see this? Did you see his jiu-jitsu? Did you see his ground game? Did you see his takedown defense? But then did you see the hits? Oh, and then he recovered from it. Then you see the swings in the fight. That's when it's fun. That's the shit you remember.
Yep.
And then you can go back, and years later you say, oh, man, remember when Gane and Aspinall fought, you know, over there in Abu Dhabi, blah, blah, blah. That's the stuff you remember is when you actually get to see that battle. So I'm hoping for it, man. And I'm hoping for the co-main. I don't want to just immediately switch from the heavyweight.
No, but
I mean,
it's funny because you said the Verna fight. So does that mean you're picking Verna?
I know most people pick Dern. I mean, I know a lot of that, too, is because people – it's a rematch.
Right.
And most times with rematches, it either goes towards whoever won it the first time. The Verna that fought Dern, and they went to a decision, if I remember right. I want to say it was a unanimous decision, whatever. This is not the same Verna.
No.
Verna is so tough, so incredibly strong, so badass now that the version before, I still feel like, was just the shy Verna that, you know, didn't speak the language, maybe felt awkward on the things, and just was still in her shell.
Yep.
You know, the one that we're seeing now has been battle-tested through some absolute beasts. And Dern, I mean... who doesn't love Dern? The UFC wants Dern to win. I mean, she's the complete package. She's a great fighter, and she looks absolutely incredible. But, man, a lot of people say that she maybe has too much stuff going on. She's out in the spotlight. She's doing all these other sort of things. Verna's just, I mean, I think she is incredible. I don't think she ever, you know, hopefully this will give her some of the clout that she deserves. I think this run that she's on, she doesn't get enough credit for what she's doing and how she's fighting right now. And I think a lot of that's just because there's the translation errors that we can't really get their emotion without it going through a filter or whatever. Yep. But we're starting to see more of it. And I love the personality that's starting to come out. Even when she comes and she talks with us in the back. Now, when I interview her, as opposed to years ago, it's night and day difference. Like, even though I can't speak the language, I see the face. I see the interaction. I see she's enjoying herself. She's having a good time. And the fighting is showing that as well. Yep. Because I think she just feels comfortable. She realizes that – I think she believes that she deserves to be here. And I think maybe when it first started, I think there's just so many Brazilians that are popping up. And she was fighting the young, pretty Brazilian, that's part American or whatever. And I think there was just a lot of issues where she wasn't quite sure of herself. I don't think we're going to see it this fight. So I'm looking forward to it, dude. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And Dern, what Dern's been going out and like, she just bites down on her mouthpiece now and just swings, dude. I absolutely love how Dern fights right now. I mean, she's so good. She's so talented. And Perillo's got her hands looking good. Yep. I mean, when watching some of the open workout stuff, her hands look good. And so far, there's so much growth. We've been seeing these athletes since they came in. Like, just the growth of both sides. Dern, her hands and her striking now, it's a totally different fighter than when we saw her. So both of these athletes are different fighters. So as much as some people, I think, when it came with the odds, they're looking at the past rematch like it's really going to play into effect because one got the win over the other. But I think literally they're two totally different fighters and how they're fighting right now that you can't even use that. In my brain, in my mind, when I was picking, I didn't even pay attention to that last one.
Nah, you can't factor it in other than just for me. And I think honestly, it was kind of that striking that kind of gave me that feel to go towards Dern. Is it like, you know, Vierna obviously on the ground, like she's incredible, but so is McKenzie. So, you know what I mean? So it's like what are we talking about?
She's no slouch,
You know what I mean? So I'm like, all right, well, I bet this is going to play out on the feet. And, you know, I like McKenzie in there.
She's got great hands.
I hope it's a good fight. I seen a lot of people, even my boy Dean Thomas, I saw, you know, there were some quotes about it being the most irrelevant strawweight title fight. I get it. Like,
a lot of people are giving him some grief. I'm wondering if it was maybe taken out of context or something, but I don't know. Sometimes he says some stuff like that and he doubles down on it. So
I think Dean gets it, right? Like, it's his job to be a little bit, you know, you gotta get people talking a little bit. You gotta be a little controversy. And I get it. Anytime a champion leaves a division, that is always the hard part, is that the people that are left behind that win, are they the real champions? But I feel like these two have been in the discussion for a long time. Vierna especially has earned the spot. McKenzie, if you want to say that maybe it's a little bit of her star power that helped her earn the spot, I'm okay with that. Like, but there's no doubt, like, Vierna was next.
She was 100%.
So, you know what I mean? So I had no problem with the fight.
And when you look at the rematch, you know, and everybody's sticking to the rematch, but just let's do the MMA math and go back and look at some of the losses that McKenzie has. She lost to Yan Jinan.
Yep.
She lost to Amanda Lemos. She lost to Andrade. You go over to Verna. She beat Amanda Lemos. She beat Yan Jinan. Yep. And she never actually fought the other one, but still.
Yep.
Bro.
The MMA math.
MMA
is there.
Math.
The it MMA never works, math. But it's there. It works. Never works. And if you want to do it, it is.
I know. That's what gamblers are like. Oh, well, of course. I got my MMA math degree, and it's like, it doesn't work, bro. There's so much weird factors and just whatever that goes into it. But I'm looking forward to this fight. As much as people will say, and I mean, we've always been homers for like females MMA as well. You know, I know a lot of people are like, I know it's a title. And that's the only reason why it's a co-main event. Regardless of where this fight would happen on the card, it's going to be a badass fight.
Yeah.
The two athletes that are in here deserve to be the co-main event, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
I do too.
I think Bond, all right, so Bond almost caught up in the last one. If it wasn't for the – he went with Cheeto. Right. I went with Firas Zahabi.
Right. Razor thin.
Razor thin. A lot of people are saying, like, whatever. So I'm up by one, but I think this card, he pretty much – he matched my – I thought he was maybe going to go Dern.
No movement.
So we'll stay on this if anything else. But still, I think Verna's the right play on that one. But, man, if Dern goes out there and smokes it and looks good doing it, the UFC is going to cream themselves. Having her as the champ – and that's when you wonder, because it's such a big spotlight, you want to turn around. You want them to fight. You want them to immediately go or whatever, or go on some sort of tour to start promoting.
Yep.
I don't know if they want her to fight right away if she get it, because I think they want her to keep the belt if she got it. I would see them slow rolling it a little bit. Whereas Verna, I don't think
she's had ups and downs. Like, yep. You don't know that she's going to keep it. Like, it's not a guarantee that – yeah, I agree. They'd probably want to slow roll it a little bit.
I think so. But it's going to be a good one.
Good one. I like the rest of the main card as well. I think very intriguing matchups all the way.
Yep.
I think Umar's just a beast, man.
Batista shows up, and when everybody counts him out, he shows up, and then you're just like, we know nothing about this sport.
He's counted out over and over. I'll say this. I went with Mirzakhanov over Rakic.
So did I.
Good. I'm glad
he's tough.
He's tough. He's so tough. I'm saying he's not necessarily like the most aesthetically pleasing at all times, you know what I mean? He's just a bull, man. He's just a powerful
bull
out there.
And a lot of people say, but on the flip side, Rakic is one of the ones that people say he fails in the title fights, but these other tough fights, he shows up and he wins. But I don't know. This is going to be a tough battle.
I agree.
But I think a lot of the team went Mirzakhanov, but I think there were a few holdouts that did Rakic.
So what about Volkov and Almeida?
I went Almeida.
I went Volkov. I'm torn on this one.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was another one on our team. It just depends. I think, you know, some people are saying Almeida's maybe, you know, a little fresher in the game. It doesn't have the experience of what Volkov's able to do.
Yep.
But, you know, Volkov does not want it to get to the ground. I think if he can get to the ground, then, you know, Almeida, it's over.
It's all boils
down
to can Volkov defend. I mean, Volkov, he's been steadily improving. He's been steadily improving his wrestling.
And
Almeida is a lot smaller. Like, I'll be honest, and I've said this before, when Almeida moved up to heavyweight, I thought he was just basically like, oh, he doesn't want to cut.
He doesn't want to cut.
But he's shown himself to be deserving of being up there.
And he's got power.
And he does.
But, I mean, if Volkov can actually work his strikes and stay the distance and is able to do whatever, he's going to put on a good fight. I mean, that's what we've seen from him time and time again. But Almeida, man, I think he's just badass. I think it's just more his time. You know, nothing wrong with Volkov. I think he's still got some years left in him. But, you know, he's been in the sport for a while. He's getting a little bit longer, and I think people have seen what he how to beat him.
Yep.
You know, we've even seen him, you know, a loss at the end of the fight. You know, the Derek Lewis, I was glad that it went away because we were such a homer for Derek Lewis, but Volkov was just toying with him and easily, and then he got caught. So
it is pretty crazy. And then you think about his last fight where most people felt that he won against Gon but didn't. I mean, it's yeah, man, I'm intrigued by that one a lot.
That should be fun.
Fun, as you said, fun fight card up and down. Iron Turtle's back, so I know that's got you. I know you're bummed you didn't get to have any Korean rom-com discussion with them.
And I feel bad, but because my picks, I did not pick the Iron Turtle in this one.
Yeah, obviously those didn't get published, right? But you guys pick anyway. Just
we still
pick
them. Yeah,
Alex Garros.
He's scary. It's going to be a – yeah, so – but that one hurts.
That one hurt
to pick, because even though it's not on the, they do put a little thing on the bottom. You know, it says whatever, but it's not like he's reading it anyways, and probably doesn't remember my name. But if he would see me, it'd be fun.
Look,
what the fuck you pick against me for? We're cut off. No more.
And then
no more
you just
talk.
Start singing the song from the K-pop Demon Hunters or whatever, and be like, hey, forget about that. We're going up.
I would totally ask him about some K-pop. He's got to be like, bro. All you do is ask me about anime, In and Out, and now K-pop Demon Hunters. I'm like, yeah, but you love it.
That's great. All right, listen. I think fight of the night potential: Mattel Trubisky versus Ludwig Klein. That could be an absolute banger.
There's gonna be blood in that one.
Walter Walker is back as well. Chris Barnett is back as well. I mean, come on, who doesn't like seeing Chris Barnett? Mizuki Inoue is back after a couple years away against Jacqueline
Emery. That's a good fight. That's a good start right there.
I like that fight as well. So fun stuff. Again, don't forget special start time. Beautiful start time here in Las Vegas. 7
Even in the East Coast, if it started at 10 a.m. fights, which I think 10 a.m. fights are awesome. The only thing that sucks for this is like it's a 7 a.m. and the Buckeyes play at 9, which is when the main card starts.
So going to be a little duel.
I know, because at one point I was like, maybe I'll go over to the bar and watch the Buckeyes over there because they do the Buckeyes watch parties, but I don't know if I'd want to do that and then try to have a small screen for the UFC fight.
Because they wouldn't even have like one screen on, right?
It's just all Buckeyes. So I think I'll stay home and do like a double. I'll put like the Buckeyes on the laptop so I can watch the fights on the TV.
I remember the year I was living in Lexington, Kentucky, like the Cowboys were in the playoffs. It was the one where like Romo missed the snap and the extra, I don't know if you remember that game, and you're not a Cowboys fan, but anyway, it was playoff game, they lost because of that, but I was living in Lexington, and it was the same time as a UK, like, UK non-conference basketball game. And, like, I went to a Buffalo Wild Wings to, like, assuming I'd be able to watch an NFL playoff game.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, TV's on UK. I was like, I can't get, like, one TV on an NFL playoff game? Yeah. And they're like, no.
They're like, do you know where you're at?
No, you can't. I had to go home and watch the playoff game. I was like, this that's is awesome. Hilarious. Like, it's a sports bar, but it's just a UK bar. So,
yeah,
that's great. All right, listen, a couple other just news things. Jalen Turner was announced. He'll be back on the card at the end of the year. No surprise if you're a Roadshow listener. We told you that, you know, he was kind of – when we ran into him in the street, he was like –
just a matter of time.
Kind
of,
I think I'll kind of be back.
He just wanted to – he needed to heal up and make sure his body was good. He had so much left in the gas tank. I mean, that would – you know, unless your body is literally like you have to – I figured, we were going to see him again and – He's always even though he's been away, I guarantee he's still fit, you know, or is able to get back into shape pretty quickly.
Yep.
So he's always a contender.
Saw I don't know if you saw earlier today. I know you haven't been on the PFL announced that they have released Larissa Pacheco.
If anything, you know, Farah Hanoun and Mike Bond did a little preview earlier, and that came up for a little bit and raised a good point. You know, you hope that means that paves a way for her to come over.
I think it has to
the UFC.
I think it has to. She's gonna have to,
you know, get down to 35.
Yep.
But they raised a good point too, and they said, well, if Kayla Harrison can do it, Larissa can do it.
Oh yeah, because Kayla's
huge,
way bigger than Larissa.
Yeah. Kayla's way bigger. Not that she looks good when she gets down to 135, but she hydrates really quickly. It's a tough cut. But I think if Larissa wants to keep fighting, and I guess that'd be the choice, right? If you know there's one possibility of making some good money and it's at 35, you just have to make the life changes, or you just come to grips with you're not going to fight mixed martial arts. You might get some boxing or BKFC or something like that. Oh, boy. BKFC with her? Dude. She's got crazy hands, man. Like that.
I didn't even consider that possibility.
Oh,
but
boy.
Yeah.
Dude, she would smash over there.
Yeah.
I think she'd make better money. Well, I don't know. I don't know what BKFC would pay. You know, I mean, I think she has a bit of a name within the MMA community. So maybe Feldman would be like, hey, this is a good get, you know. Maybe Connor, you know, he's got his hands and everything, might be like, hey,
you know, that's interesting because
then they can advertise it to other like fighters or whatever.
Yeah, and that's what I was gonna say, is that's interesting because the PFL might be willing to give their footage to BKFC for high, because that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right, you want footage to market, right?
Yeah,
they're probably not giving their footage to the UFC to market, right? They're probably like, you know, and by the way, I saw some people kind of chastising PFL for letting go. Larissa made a lot of money at the PFL and had a big contract. You and I have talked about this from the beginning. It may not be great that these people are getting their, you know, contracts let go, but if you can't afford to pay it, just don't sit on it. You know what I mean? Let them go chase elsewhere.
While they're still physically able to do the thing.
I actually applaud PFL. I think if it's smart financially to go like, look, thank you for all you've done, but your contract, we just bottom line can't afford to pay what you're making now as we try to reorganize and get things moving in the right direction. So please go make money elsewhere. Okay, maybe you feel a little upset by that, but at least you're not sitting on your contract.
Yep.
So I'm okay with this.
Yep.
But I didn't even think about that. BKFC is not a bad shout because, again, I think they would give their footage to BKFC. And you could show, you know, obviously you could show beating Kayla Harrison. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, that's a big deal. You could show the highlight reel finishes that she's had.
I don't know the young lady's name that's, like, always does the BKFC. I think she's one of their champs. She's fucking gnarly. She's all tatted up, and she's a badass.
Britton Hart, probably.
Maybe.
No, you're talking about Christine Fajeda.
Yes,
those two
matching up. Like, bro, that would be a bloodbath. I think that would be absolutely bonkers. So if she doesn't make her way to UFC, she definitely has a place And I think she could be an absolute stud over in BKFC. Boy,
good shout. Because I was thinking absolutely she goes to UFC, which would be cool, right? Yeah. I remember she's full circle moment. I mean, she got to the UFC back in 2014 when she was – I think she was still a teenager if I remember right. She was 19, maybe 20. Yeah. I mean, she was super, super young.
Yep.
Obviously, at that time, man, she was way down at – she was at 135 then, and – man, I mean, she fought Jessica. I always remember she fought Jessica Andrade and Jermaine Durand to me, which is crazy. You fight two future champions, go 0-2, and you're like, you're out.
Yeah.
But the BKFC is a pretty good call.
Well, I mean, it's funny. Outside of like Jeremy Stevens, nobody's ever done the like went. Usually, BKFC is when you can't get into the UFC.
Right.
But Jeremy Stevens had the opportunity to come back and do the fight, and then he went back over to BKFC for that one off where they needed him. I forget where even that was, but
in Iowa.
You know, so I could see where. Could she go to the BKFC and still maybe get over to the UFC?
Maybe.
It kind of depends. It depends on how much her star power stays high over there. But if they're paying her great money and they can't match it or won't match it over the UFC, it's probably going to be a one-way ticket if she did get it. But I'm sure she wants to fight in the UFC. But in terms of where I think she could make a huge splash and maybe become a face of a company quicker, it's going to be BKFC.
Good call, man. I hadn't even thought about it. It's crazy to talk about the UFC like – I guess maybe the next month or so, like, we don't know anything about next year yet.
Yeah.
We don't know. I mean, we know June 14th at the White House, and that's pretty much it, right? I mean, we haven't heard. Like,
it might even not even be the White House at that point. They might have just renamed it at that point. There might not be any of the existing structure. They're the lair. The den. Outside of that, we don't know
much. We don't know anything. We don't know dates. We don't know cities. Yeah. We don't know. I'm still very interested. I had somebody point this out to me the other day. So, and I had not thought about this, but you know, we're kind of talking about maybe time changes or whatever, like yep. time. But the numbered events, there still will be pay per view in other markets. Like Australia is a pay per view market. I believe Canada is a pay per view market. New Zealand. So there are a couple pay per view markets. So obviously the U.S. is the biggest or was the biggest pay per view market. But there will still be pay-per-views in other countries, and so I wonder if that will lead them to say, well, let's stick in that traditional time slot.
Yeah.
Which, to be honest with you, I wouldn't hate. I mean, to be honest, the big, big pay-per-view cards, I don't mind hitting that 10 p.m. Eastern main card start. You know what I mean? Like, that's the prime. I would like the fight nights and stuff to be more like college football or something. You know what I mean? Like, let's put it on during the day on Saturdays. At least then we get some Saturday nights. That's what I personally would like to see, but we don't know. We don't know what cities they're going to. We don't know, what time they want the events to be at. We don't know what anything is going to look like.
Was it Buffer that was saying, like, just off of the pay-per-view thing or something that was talking about the White House? Was it him that was like, it's going to be the biggest pay-per-view ever or something?
It's going to be on CBS.
I know. I was like, it's not going to be a pay-per-view.
Oh, I didn't see that.
But I don't know. Maybe it wasn't Buffer. Maybe it was somebody else. But I feel like I just read somebody was, like, boasting and saying about how it was going to be, you know, the biggest pay-per-view. And I thought it was him. And I was like, it's not even on pay-per-view, Bruce.
Well, hey, yeah, there's no pay-per-views in the United States anymore. I mean,
yeah.
I know Dana said we could.
Yeah, would think if anybody's talking about pay-per-view, they're only referencing here, like, unless they're an international person or something like that. Like, I don't think Bruce is saying anything. If it was him, I don't think he's like, oh, it's going to be the biggest numbers in UFC ever. I'm like,
should be the most watched UFC card.
It's going to do bonkers.
It's going to, because it will get coverage outside of sport. Like, it is going to be a cultural phenomenon.
Everybody, every major news organization that doesn't cover sports is going to cover it.
Even if all they want to do is talk shit about it. Even if all they want to do is say that it's ridiculous. You know what I mean? They're going to cover it.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I could see Al Jazeera. I could see the BBC. I could see everybody internationally. If a sporting event happened at any grounds that is the your country's capital status icon item, like, they're going to talk about it.
Yeah. If there was a UFC event in Red Square or something, you know what I mean? Like, we're gonna talk about it. So, it's going to be big. What if it turns out that they're tearing down part of the White House to create more of a seating area for the UFC event?
So ridiculous. They're like, well, the UFC is going to pay to rebuild this later on afterwards. They're like, we're going to pass it off. So Dana said he's going to they have to do the whatever it was, $700,000
or? He's like,
for the lawn. He's and like, Dana, now they got to
just tell people it's for the grass. Just tell people it's for the grass. Like, it's really.
he's going to come back and like, I'm actually going to make my own hall of honor just for me and my accomplishments. I'm going to put about the what was the show that he did the what was the
The Apprentice?
You're Fired. Yeah, The Apprentice. Yeah, he's going to have, that's going to be The Apprentice wing now.
Oh, God. So amazing. Oh, man. All right.
Yeah, that show's going to be bonkers. If they offer, I mean, it's almost like, say, because I go back and forth. I feel like I would want to be there. But there's another part of me that's like, it's going to be such a crazy madness.
I'll say right, I want to be there. It is going to be madness. It's going to be chaos.
Certainly a one-off. So I guess on that, and that,
instance,
you know,
I honestly really do want to be there. We'll see. I don't know if it's gonna be possible or not. You know, yeah. We don't know.
Because they're covering for the MMA Roadshow, right?
I would absolutely. We gotta have something to talk about on the podcast. So I mean, why wouldn't you want? So I would really like to be there. We'll see if it happens or not. We don't know. We don't know anything about the plans. But it is a one of one history type thing. You know, like I really wanted to be at the Sphere. And I do believe that the Sphere was a one of one, but like you could always go back to the Sphere. You know what I mean? Like it costs a lot of money, and you know that the struggles and the challenges and the operational logistics are tough. But you could go back.
Yeah.
Like you ain't going back to the White House.
No.
Like that. You know what I mean? That's not happening. So we'll see. I'd like to be there for that. We'll find out. But yeah, and we'll find out the things. Last thing I did want to. Just quickly mention Duke Rufus, man. That was that one hit everybody really, really hard.
Yeah.
I think it's been cool to see the outpouring of support. Obviously, man, tough watching Paul Felder. Yeah. I mean, he was so close. It was hard to watch that. You know what I mean? I know how tight they were.
Yeah.
For me personally, like, you know, obviously, you know, Punk obviously is super close to Duke Rufus, and always, you know, always heard a lot of great stories through CM Punk, and obviously I've just known Duke for a long time. Only made it out to his gym once, man. It only made it out there his gym. If you and I think you've been out there a couple times.
Yeah, because you brought up Punk. If you go back and you'll find like a Duke Rufus interview that we did when we went out there before Punk's debut. Me and Ben Folks were out there. Because I was like, who was I with? I was like, was it with John or was it with Folks? And I found some other footage where we had Duke in his office, and it was Ben chatting with him. But yeah, I want to say I was out there maybe two or three times.
Only been there once, and it was actually during CFFC match day when we were kind of barnstorming through some of the smaller towns, and we ended up in Milwaukee, and it was me and Rob Hadak, and we went out there, and it was funny because I'd never been there. Like, his gym, first of all, his gym, I mean, Rufus Sport is a cool gym. It's packed. Like there's all, but I mean, they have maximized their space, right? Like it is nothing but cages and floor space. But like just finding it, like if you pull up, like it's like downstairs on the back side of a thing. Like I'm like, this can't be the right address. Like there's no gym here.
It's so easy to overlook it because when I went, there was no real like front facing sign or anything.
Yep.
You just had like the address, and I remember like I was like, is this it? You know, I remember, I think we walked past it the first time.
I walked past it the first. I bet everybody has that exact same experience, man. But they maximize that space.
Yeah, then once you go down, then it's literally, wall to wall, like mats and fight shit.
Maxed
and
it out,
like that.
Man. But you talk about it. I mean, Paul Felder talked about it, and I heard a lot of other people miss. The Pettis brothers obviously
came
out.
Yeah, that's another
one
I went straight to try to hear because you knew how close he was to them. You know, as they said, like he was like a father figure.
Father
but
figure,
I think that was like him for a lot of his athletes. You know, that's how much he cared about the sport. And, you know, he always gave great advice. You know, when you see him on Fight Week, he was never one of the ones that would get too crazy and say shit and become, like, the scene or the story. But he was always there supporting his fighters and stuff. And you could tell that when you walked around the gym, you know. I mean, everybody that we interviewed, you weren't with me when we were asking when we were down in there as well, I think.
I don't think so. I think maybe that's the only time I've been there. Yeah, maybe I did go. I don't remember.
I can't remember. But, yeah, I mean, like, every athlete.
Maybe they did
that
like a UFC open workout or something there. Maybe I did.
Could.
I never went in a one-on-one situation. They may have done like an open workout or something that I was at because they did a couple like WC and
like
UFC events out in Milwaukee.
There,
so maybe
whatever.
It's possible. But
yeah, I mean like every athlete, you know, but I went looking for the Pettises because that was just like so famously in my mind, like their relationship. But hearing Paul talk about it, you know, it certainly echoed what you could see from most of the athletes that we've ever heard that's worked with them. I know us as media and us as just people that would see him on the scene, he was always a great guy to be around and was very
amazing.
Warm, very open. It hurt, man. Like, just I feel like, man, right now the sport's losing some really, really greats in the sport. You know, so, you're just like, holy cow.
So it's funny. So number one, just talk about like the type of guy he is. Like during the trip to Milwaukee, we actually ran into him in a bar one night, just randomly. We both just ended up in the same bar in Milwaukee. Yeah. We looked over, we were like, oh damn. And it was, I mean, spent hours just talking about like, just out. And again, it is that love for the guys and that relationships.
Yeah.
But to your point about saying like it just feels like we're losing, because I think it was you that messaged me that was like,
yeah.
And this it's the same thing that happened earlier, like with Tom Gerbasi, where somebody's like, did you hear about Duke Rufus?
Yeah.
And the first thing you hear, you know, I don't know. There's like, if I was 20 years younger, I'd be like, what, did he get arrested? Or like, what, did he get promoted? Or what, like, did a new job opportunity? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. But it is sad that, like, we're to a point now when somebody says, did you hear about so-and-so? The first thing you think is, oh, God, like, are they, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, and it just, it is tough, man.
So
it's
young.
Tough. Yeah.
I mean, so young, 55.
55.
I mean, that's just, I mean, and this is a guy that's athletic. I mean, he's doing his thing. I mean, like, I mean, I guess if anything, you know, I think all of us, you know, going in your sleep is probably the best
thing. Can't ask for anything more.
You know, but man, yeah, it was just, I think this, it's, you know, just like with Gerbasi on the media side, and I think any fighter that's worked with him, I think on the flip side, when you think about athletes, I think any athlete that, whether you work with them, train with them, or even competed against him, probably felt like he was a great guy. Because, I mean, he just showed sort of that respect to his athletes, and he showed it to his competitors. The way he carried himself, I think he set a great example for what MMA coaches, how you should carry yourself during the fight week, you know. And like you said, you see him out and about. He was always giving of his time, very smiley, very, very whatever. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, it's a shame. And I think everybody at first was like, no,
right.
He's way too young, you know, like what happened or whatever. Yeah, it was sad. It's sad. And I'm sure Milwaukee will do something and say something. Milwaukee's a great fucking town.
I mean,
I have so much fun
during the summer.
And love up in Milwaukee. Yeah, yes, it can get cold as all get out.
It's like Chicago.
You see that river like freeze up. You're like, oh, this is no good.
But you are right.
But they loved him. They loved him.
Entrenched in the community there. Entrenched in the community there. So
yeah, I would hope that they would. I'm sure they would do something for him, or did do something for him. I didn't keep up with it or whatever, but you would think that hopefully the city would do something, you know, to sort of recognize or something. But yeah, he was a big part of that city and big part of the MMA community up there, and I think shit, even just in the U.S. I mean, I think his input and you know, for MMA here, it's a loss for the community for sure.
Definitely. So, is, man, definitely,
yeah,
is.
Definitely condolences to his fighters, because I mean, We didn't do the blood, sweat, and tears with him in the trenches like the fighters, and it affects us because he was such a really cool dude. So, I mean, I know the people that were much, much closer than us are really hurting and feeling it from this one. So, yeah, it's a tough one. Tough loss. I'm glad you brought it up, because I knew we hadn't taped yet, and I was like, I know we're going to end up talking about Duke, because I remember when it happened, it was just fresh, and I know a lot of people always want to jump straight immediately to, like, social media, and I was like, oh, I'll never say – I can never type what you want to sort of say and just reflect all the moments and some of the cool stuff that you've seen in a whatever 200 word count, character count, whatever sort of thing. But yeah, he was a good dude. But yeah, watching Paul Felder, I mean, I think everybody got choked up watching that. You know, I mean, it was something, man.
It was hard, man. I was obviously a consummate professional to get through it and to get back to his job, but you could tell, I mean, and I knew, obviously Paul's close to the CFSC family, and man, I know how much Duke meant to him. So Duke's been a lot to a lot of our guys, you know, that have come through there. So
I'll add one more sad one on there, and then we'll just make it quick. I know if you would see him, you would recognize him, but Mike Arnold is one of the Concom audio guys that he would be working the board next to our things. His wife lost her battle with cancer yesterday, I think.
Jeez.
So sad. Yeah, that was tough, because we seem he's like one of the guys that more than likely, not all the time, that would come up. There'd be other guys that would come up and check the mic to see who's going, but he's usually over at the board and stuff like that. So I know if you'd see him, or if I show you a picture, you'd recognize him. So, but yes, I don't think he's listens to this show, but I want to say our definitely our condolences and thought with him,
too. We worked side by side with those guys, right? Yeah, the production team. For
so many years. And his wife's been battling it over and over and over, and I think things progressed, and she finally... She was ready to stop fighting and want to do the hospice thing, and it went pretty quick. It was like, I think the next day or something like that. But yeah, it was tough. It's tough. And all that shit just brings so many emotions. Oh. We've lost so many people lately that, yeah, yesterday was rough.
Dude.
Just
a reminder, I guess. You know, it's like, I think that's the biggest thing when these things pop up is just like, man, you get into the routine of just going through life and, you know, oh, we got this and I got that and got this and got that. Like, man, just remember that, like, nothing's guaranteed, dude. Yeah. Like, stop and appreciate it. Stop and trust me, man, I'm as guilty of it as anybody of not appreciating it and just stop and enjoy it. You know what I mean? Always looking towards the next thing, always looking towards what more needs to be done, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But, yeah, man, there's no guarantee. So enjoy it and appreciate it. And make sure people know that they're loved, too. That's the other one, too, that always crushes me, man. And especially when it's, you know, especially when it's a situation of self-harm and that sort of thing. But really, just anytime somebody passes and you wonder, like, did they know how many people loved them and respected them and appreciated them? Like, did they have that in their mind? Were they aware of that?
Yeah. And I think that's a great message, you know. And I think it's one of those things that we definitely, you know, always constantly, and it sucks that it's at these points that you remember and you make those points, but you know, honestly, and plus as we just get older, man, we're just losing more and more friends. It's hard.
Well, that's a fun way to end the show.
I know,
but it's a reality too, man. Obviously, we always want to keep it fun and light and enjoy it, but there is something to be said for that, you know.
Well,
what
that
I mean?
Just means the next time we go have some frosty beverages, you pour a little bit out for your homies and you just remember you know, remember the good times, and you talk about the stories, and that's how people live on forever.
That's it. Keep these people in your mind, man, and in your hearts for sure. All right, listen, everybody, enjoy the fights this weekend. Like I said, I think it's a big one. We'll be talking about next week. We'll be talking about everything that's coming up. Yeah, got one more week at home. Some lingerie fighting championships in the future.
Yeah, you're staying busy with the Apex runs coming up, and then going straight into things. So yeah, we got Apex next week.
Apex, the next, and then we're both weeks, going to New York,
NYC,
right?
And then actually the week off, and then the week after that, I'll get to go see my mom for Thanksgiving.
That's awesome.
Looking forward to that. And then that last pay per view.
In between, I'm gonna go
we don't have a December pay per view, right?
Yeah, we do. December 6th. And then December 13th is Apex again, and then we're done for the
okay.
And then the following week is December 20th CFFC Atlantic City. The following week will be CFFC BJJ on December 27th. So we will stay busy. In between, actually, I think my mom's actually coming to town. I'm sure she'll want to see. I'm sure she'll want to see Mr. Coffee. She is coming in town. We're gonna go to the Cowboys and Raiders game on Monday Night Football. So
look at that.
Yeah. So be a good time. So
good times.
Anyway, there we go. Hopefully that spun back with enough positivity.
There you go.
Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.